Pop Culture Affidavit, episode 158, VIP treatment at the Baltimore Comic Con. Hello and welcome to episode 158 of Pop Culture Affidavit, the podcast that looks at everything random in the world of popular culture, which is brought to you by the True True Freaks Internet Radio Network. I'm your host, Tom Panneries, and it's time for the annual Baltimore Comic Con episode. Just like every year that I've done this since I first started this podcast in 2012, I believe I spent a Saturday at the Baltimore Comic Con at the Convention Center. And just like I have for the past 7 or 8 years, Brett came with me. And this year was a little bit different. It was Brett's last convention. And, well, I mean, it might not be their last convention always, but Brett's headed to college next year. And so this is probably the last one. I know I'm going to be going back next year when the con's in mid-October, but I'll be going by myself. So what I decided to do was go ahead and buy us VIP tickets to make it a little bit special, because I figured, you know, it's the last con. I've always been kind of curious as to what you get with the VIP tickets, even if it's just beyond the half hour extra that you get to go in. And so I ponied up the money. It was pretty expensive, like, I'm not going to lie. And it probably is not the best value considering I only go on Saturday and the VIP is for the entire 3 days. But, you know, I figured, why not? This is the only show I go to. And I had been, you know, saving up money for, you know, the whole year. It was kind of a special thing. And so I decided this year was kind of going to be the year I bought some big ticket stuff anyway. So that's what I'm going to talk about this episode. I'm going to start with talking about what the VIP experience was. Then I'm going to talk about the usual stuff. The planning, the creators, artists, alley, etc. And wrap it up with our usual car ride home. I'm going to be doing that right after this. Stick around.
Can I get a tall chai?
And a large black coffee.
And I suppose you're here with no agenda, as per usual?
On the contrary, I'm here for comics.
I think I can help all of you. Hello, I'm the caffeinated Clinton Robinson, and I host a podcast called Coffee and Comics. On this podcast, I summarize, review, and discuss comic book issues, stories, and related media, usually in the span of time it takes to have a cup of coffee. Sometimes I'm joined by a guest, and sometimes I'm flying solo. So pour the coffee, take a sip, and turn up the volume as you listen to the Coffee and Comics Podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and directly on coffeeandcomicspodcast.blogspot.com. And remember, this is where the comics are never too old, and the coffee is never too cold.
So like I said at the top of the show, I had thought about doing the VIP treatment for a few years. And when it came to this year and it being Brett's last convention for a while, I figured, well, why not? And I decided then that I was also going to pony up some money for a few things that were rather expensive. So this was kind of my go big or go home here, so to speak. So when it comes to the VIP experience, what you do is you get a half an hour admission into the show. You get a free t-shirt, a badge, a print, and a copy of the yearbook that has a special edition cover for VIP customers. And this year's yearbook was patterned after the Tick. So this was something that, again, like, I planned for weeks in advance, trying to figure out, like, what I wanted to bring with me, what I wanted to buy, etc. I decided that for the first time in a really ever, I was actually going to not only spend money on the VIP tickets, I was going to buy one of the media guest packages because the media guests were interesting this year. There's a couple that I've seen before. Sam Jones, who was Flash Gordon, was there. As a John Wesley Shipp, who's been there before. But the three that I was most interested in meeting were three actors from the movie Aliens. So I actually did pay for the package of having a picture taken with all three of them. It was the actors who played Vasquez, Drake, and Spunkmeyer. And you'll hear a little bit more about that later. And then what I usually do was did my whole spiel of a bit of going ahead and putting some things together to get signed. So that list gets published and it gets updated as it goes closer and closer to the day of the convention. So, and what I always do is, of course, grab as much stuff as I have for people who are offering signings and then pare it down. And believe it or not, compared to previous years, it was a lot smaller than it had been. Because I think a few days before the convention, I decided, no, I was really going to pare down and keep the signatures to a minimum, so to speak, because the last few years, I spent a lot of time standing in line. And I spent a lot of time standing in line last year for Chris Claremont, which was very much worth it. But, you know, after a while, it's like, I do want to spend time getting comics and going to a panel maybe and Artist Alley and like all of those things. So I did my usual prioritizing of which people I wanted to see. And the most important were Dan Jurgens, who really I just wanted to add his signature to the cover of the Superman Wedding album that I've had almost that entire Triangle Era team sign. I think I'm down to like inkers and some special guests they had there who hadn't been regulars, some of whom unfortunately have passed since. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, praise be his name, was also on that list. I think I brought him something every year I've been there, or more or less. I had actually ordered the Standards Manual company is publishing the style guide, the DC style guide from 1982. And if you're following comics news, you've probably seen this. And I pre-ordered it back when it was up for pre-order in March or April. And originally it was supposed to ship in August, and the shipping's been delayed. And I was really, really hoping that I would have had it by the time the convention rolled around. Unfortunately, I didn't. So that'll be on my list for next year. But I always have something for him to sign, so I brought a couple of things. Terry Moore was there as well, and I wanted to not only just buy the Parker Girls omnibus, I wanted my last two Strangers in Paradise trades signed. And then a couple of other people, Jimmy Palmiotti was on my list, as was at least one of the actors from Aliens. So that was my kind of finalized list of what I was getting signatures. And then I started putting together things that I was interested in buying. Like I said, usually I just kind of bop around Artist Alley and buy a bunch of stuff. I look for pins and things. I didn't really find anything specific there this year. But then I do a bit of bin diving and come back with a bunch of comics and graphic novels and trades and stuff. Besides from my usual wish list, and other things that, like, I'm filling holes in collections and stuff like that, and just random things that I thought might be interesting, I decided that I was going to buy a couple of pretty expensive things. And there were two items, and they were both pieces of artwork. So in the past, I've gotten prints. I'm in actually the office, and I'm looking at the 5 different Wonder Woman and Captain Carter prints that I've gotten for Amanda over the years. And I actually have gotten a sketch or two before, most notably the George Perez sketch I got of Wonder Woman for Amanda back in 2013. And I wanted to buy one of two things. I wanted to get something actually commissioned, and I wanted to see if I could get a piece of original art. Now, I do have a piece of original comic art. I do have a page from Katusha, the Wayne Van Sant graphic novel that I bought very, very cheaply off him a few years ago. But I wanted something that had more recognizable superhero stuff on there and see if I had, there was anything in my price range from people like Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, because he usually does sell some original pages and art and sketches and stuff like that. As far as the commission, I decided to go and seek out Tom Zoller, who, you know, has been on the show before when I've interviewed him, et cetera. And I had seen like a really cool looking Maleficent drawing on his website. And I reached out to him and I said, are you doing commissions for the Baltimore Con? He said, yes. What are you interested in? And I told him, I said, this is really cool. I really like the Maleficent that you have. I was looking for the 9x12 color. And he sent me, actually, he really, really liked doing it. And he thought it came out really, it's a gorgeous 9x12 print, and I have it framed sitting here and getting ready to be hung up in the office. And it was really cool. It was a real treat to be able to get somebody to draw something like that. And I mean, Tom's an amazing, amazing guy. I was really, really happy to buy from him. And according to him, when we talked at the con when I was picking up the sketch, he said that he's got more stuff coming next year. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing him again next year. And yeah, so that was pretty much the prep, and the arrival and the kind of getting there was always the same as it was. You know, we stuck to our usual plan of leaving really early to beat traffic on I-95. I have to say that, you know, I drove I-95 in Maryland for years, in college and then after college, et cetera. And it's like, I don't forget how horrific Maryland drivers are, but then like part of you does, and then you're on the beltway and good God. Anyway, so I stuck to that plan and parked where I usually park, and we got our VIP badges. The print this year was a really cool looking Mike McCone Spider-Man print. So that was pretty awesome. And then, that's pretty much it. I mean, like, I it's not like you get like keys to the executive washroom when you're a VIP at the Baltimore Comic Con. You just get on a different line. And it was interesting to see it's kind of the same people that you run into when you're standing in line to get into the convention center and all that. And, you know, you're always chatting back and forth with random people because you're all comic nerds and you all have people you're looking to see, and you talk about that, or you've brought something that looks really cool. And this one guy was talking about like all the people he's got to see, and he was bragging about the fact that he owned a copy of Wildcats 2, then that's what he was going to bring Jim Lee to sign instead of Wildcats 1. And I was like, uh-huh. And I'm like thinking about how like I probably sold that for like maybe a few dollars back in 2002. but it was really cool. Like the people get really, really enthusiastic, and it is nice to just geek out with random people in line. And then Stella rolled up because she was joining me for the day. I think I never actually didn't expect her to spend the whole day, but we ended up spending the whole day together. So you're going to actually hear her a couple of times on the show during our lunch break, as well as during just toward the end of the day. But, you know, we hung out and we were hanging out in the line beforehand. Then she went off to the regular line and I got in at 9:30. So when you get in at 9:30, you do the same thing you always do, and you get on the floor and it's empty. It was really, really cool. And so I did the usual thing where I map out what booths I'm going to first. And I was like, oh, I'm going to shop first. And started looking through a couple of bins. I was like, let me do a loop around the main artist and creator part and then come back and see if there's anything, you know, see if there's anybody there, and then come back and shop if I need to. And what was funny, because I figured for the most part, like nobody was going to be there as far as artists and writers signing, because I've been there many times where the people I want to see weren't there at 10 o'clock in the morning. And like, you know, we keep having to go back to their table to see if they're there, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll get a couple of signatures. And then after the 10 o'clock whistle, so to speak, I will go ahead and get in a couple of lines and maybe I'll get some of the people. I got every single person I wanted to meet done before 10 o'clock. And it was like amazing. I was like blown away by how much I was able to do. And it was really cool because then I was able to just do what I wanted for the rest of the day. And so actually this is what I'm saying now is I'm going to do the VIP tickets again next year because I'm going to be going by myself. So I'll pony up the money for that. And like as of right now, I literally have like one signature I want to get. And that will be Jose Luis Garcia Lopez on the DC Style Guide. If there's anybody else there who I'm like, oh, this would be really cool to get, I will do that. But for the most part, I'm going to go minimal signatures and maximum comic book shopping next year. But I'm skipping. Let me not skip ahead that far yet. And let me talk about who I actually had things signed by. So I did get my last two Strangers in Paradise trades signed by Terry Moore. So that's all 19 at this point. The very short one shot ever. I also had signed, and then I bought the omnibus, softcover omnibus of Parker Girls, which is the most recent series, and had that signed. He was right next to Jimmy Palmiotti, who was already there, had no line. I had three things for him to sign. He is one of the last signatures I've been able to get in the book Leaping Tall Buildings, which is that interview book that I've had for really since 2012, because Larry Hama signed it, was the first person to sign it back in 2012, as was Walter Simonson. He remembered taking the picture that they took of him. He said it was his bar that he was a regular at, and they actually let him get behind the bar and serve himself a drink and take the picture. And had a really, really nice conversation about like Brooklyn and New York and Long Island. And because both being from that area. So, the man is like one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and he is a great storyteller, and it's really, really fun to talk to him. He signed one issue of Cops the Job because I covered that a couple of years ago, and I always love bringing random things for people to sign like that. And then I have a hardcover Jonah Hex graphic novel of his. I think it was like No Way Back or No Way Out is the name of it. And he not only signed that, but he sketched Jonah Hex inside it because he said, you're bringing this, you get a sketch. And it was, for whatever I paid for the signature, it wasn't anything extra. So that was pretty cool. I thought that was really nice. Dan Jurgens did sign my copy of The Wedding Album, as well as the Death of Superman 30th Anniversary issue, the Zero Hour 30th Anniversary special, which I told him how much I loved. I really, really loved that. And I think Ron Morris was actually there and I didn't get him to sign it. So maybe if he's at the show again next year, I will. But that Zero Hour, if you haven't read that Zero Hour 30th Anniversary special and it's still around or you can find it, I highly recommend doing it. It was even more than the two Superman ones. It was like my favorite of the year of the 30th anniversary things they've done recently. And I let him know that. It was really, really cool. And he also signed two Who's Who profiles for me. Perry White from the Binder Edition, as well as Agent Liberty. Then I went to somebody who I actually didn't think I'd get a signature for because he's a pretty popular artist, but again, nobody was at his table yet, and that was Art Adams. And I only had just a handful of Who's Who pages from the loose leaf, and he even joked, he said, this is the easy thing about these is that you don't have to bring the whole thing and you can just pop them out of the binder. And I had him sign five of them: Gorilla Grodd, Light Ray, Mordu from the Legion of Superheroes, Blackfire. And I mentioned that Blackfire was like one of my favorite entries. I kind of just said it is such a cool picture, and he thanked me for that. And then the Forever People. I can hear Rob Kelly go again. And he said how much he just really enjoyed and really just had wanted to draw as many of the Kirby characters as he could. So I think that was, in that case, he requested one or two of those. So, and he was very, very nice to meet. And Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, always love seeing him. He signed my hardcover reprint of the Superman versus Wonder Woman Treasury. It came out a couple of years ago. They recently published a facsimile edition. One of them had like a chromium cover and then it was a soft cover. This was a hardcover they published. It was like 2 years ago or something. I got it for Christmas and it's really, really cool looking. And now it's funny. It was like he was flipping, or the people he was with were flipping through the soft cover print that came out. I showed them that. They're like, oh, that was a hardcover. I said I had that. And I was saying how gorgeous it was. And then he also signed my copy of DC Comics Presents 67. That's Superman and Santa Claus. And then I actually bought, I did buy a piece of original art. It was a pencil sketch on kind of vellum paper of Tim Drake Robin. And he's in an action pose. He's swinging in and he's thrown the Robin Batarang, the big R thing at you. And it's kind of a rough sketch thing, but it's pretty detailed and looked really cool. And it was one of the more inexpensive pieces of art that he was selling, because he was selling entire comics pages and they were going upwards of $1,000. I didn't have $1,000 to spend on one piece of artwork or something, but this was expensive. It was a couple hundred dollars, but I was like, you know what? I had set aside that money to do it and I was determined to do it. So I was like, yes, I will definitely do that. And then on the way out to meet up with Brett one more time, just to kind of rendezvous and figure out where we were going from there, I stopped by Michael Golden's table and I had just two things for him to sign. And they were both issues of the NOM magazine. You know, I did a whole series about the NOM years ago, and there were 84 issues of the series, and then there were 10 magazines. So this was back in the mid to late 80s when Marvel still had some success publishing magazines like Savage Sword of Conan. And they decided that since the NOM did have such an older audience, that they could try to publish a black and white version of the book in magazine format, shoving a couple of issues into each issue of the magazine. And they did 10 issues of the magazine. I think it amounted to like maybe 18 or 20 issues, maybe a little bit more. And so they had all the Michael Golden issues as well as a bunch of the Wayne Van Zandt ones. And the interesting thing I found out was I had him sign issue number one, which the cover's a little bit tweaked, you know, but it was like, whatever. I think I paid like $1.99 for it when I was at my local comic shop. So I now have my actual NOM number one signed by him and the magazine. And then he signed issue three. And the reason I brought issue three of the magazine is that I noticed that it had an uncensored version of the cover to issue number five. And so issue number five's cover of the NOM is the picture is three GIs looking at some prisoners of war who were essentially gutted and strung up for, I guess, to warn people this is what will happen to you. It's pretty savage, but we're looking at it from the behind those people who are dead, and we're looking at the faces' reactions. So we kind of fill in the blank of what the gore looks like, you know, because it was a code-approved book, et cetera. Well, so a couple of things that were left out were notably the decapitated head that was on the ground next to one of the bodies. And he talks a little bit about the fact that, you know, that was the original version of the cover. They more or less knew they weren't going to get that printed, so that there wasn't, you know, they kind of deliberately centered themselves for issue five. And it was just interesting to hear him tell just a little bit of inside baseball about that cover being made. And then I went and got my last signature before I headed down Artist's Alley, and that was from one of the cast members of Aliens. So like I said, they have media guests at the Baltimore Comic Con, and they try to keep them very comic book, sci-fi adjacent. The show really does focus on comic creators, but they always have like three or four people who were in a movie on a TV show. And like I said, they had John Wesley Shipp this year. They had Sam Jones, and those are both comic book actors, right, so to speak. And this year it was three actors from Aliens. I paid to have my picture taken with the three of them. That was fun. It was very quick. It was like all like really a blur. And I said, hey, how are you doing and everything? And they were just kind of assembly line factory rushing us in and out. We took a picture. I was like, thank you. I didn't really get a chance to converse with all three of them because it was like me and then there were people behind me and stuff. And by that point, I think it was very close to lunch. So it was just kind of like, let's go, let's go, let's go. But I did go and pay for a signature from one of them, and I chose Jeanette Goldstein, who played Vasquez, because Vasquez is one of the cooler supporting characters, right? And what I had her sign was a vintage VHS copy of Aliens, you know, the old CBS Fox video with the gray band with aliens written in sans serif italicized font, just like my copy of Commando and, you know, all the other movies that you know, that they put out back in the 80s. And the cover of it is just the black background with the word aliens, you know, in the aliens title font, and that's it. So when I'm sorry, I said, will you sign this? She kind of marveled. She's like, is this a vintage? Like, have you had this since 86? And I said, I think it was a video store copy because there's a couple of numbers on the side, and I bought it, I bought it secondhand. I said, but I do have an old video copy, another video, but I've been watching this movie since I was like 10 or 11. And I said, you know, so she was kind of like, she thought it was pretty cool that I had this video cassette. And then I mentioned that I thought her death in the movie was like one of the best deaths in the entire movie. And she said something. She said, well, if you're going to go out big, right? I said, yeah. And she was lovely. And it was very, very nice meeting her. And I was trying my best to not sound like Chris Farley in the interview sketch and everything. But yeah, that was very worth the money. The photo op, probably pretty cool. You know, like it was worth it to have that experience and stuff. They didn't sign the photo. They just, the signature was separate and I had to pay for the signature separately. So I think if I do a media guest thing next year or any year in the future, somebody who is worth it to do that, I will just take my chances on paying the money for the signature and not worry about prepaying for a photo or anything like that. But still, like, the whole experience was really fun. And I actually got to check something off of my list of things, of 50 things I wanted to do by the time I turned 50, which was get a signature, something signed by somebody who was not a comic creator. And these people were actors. And then Stella was with me at that point. So she kind of like tagged along as I got the picture taken. And then the two of us after lunch went to the panel that they held with the three of them. And they just talked about their careers. And that was pretty interesting. You know, we listened to them. There were a Q&A. I thought the panelists, the people running the panel, I was kind of hoping they'd be a little more interviewee. You know, they did an okay job, but I've listened to so many of like Michael Bailey's panels from Dragon Con when he used to post them to Views from the Long Box that I think I'm kind of spoiled. And I haven't gone to a panel at the Baltimore Con in years, so I can't tell you whether or not that was, you know, par for the course. Most of it was questions from the audience, and a lot of them were really, really interesting, especially like, you know, how they had to get kitted up into their outfits and some of the conditions they work under, and how like some of the stuff was literally held together with duct tape. Sometimes they veered off into other performances from other movies, which, oh yeah, they have like long careers. And it's pretty cool to see they've gotten so much work as either character actors or in prominent roles in other movies and things like that. But, you know, I was hoping to hear a little bit, you know, I was kind of, when they went off topic a little bit toward like the Shawshank Redemption or something for that matter, I was like, oh, let's just get back to aliens. But no, really, it was a really fun panel. They were really fun to meet. Don't regret any of it. And I do love the fact that I have a copy of Aliens, VHS copy of Aliens, and the box is signed by Vasquez. This is really, really awesome. So after the Aliens thing, we went up and down Artist's Alley. And that's where I got a good amount of audio. I didn't really sit and interview creators this year who were the main guest creators, the Dan Jurgens and Terry Moore and stuff. I really just wanted to get my stuff signed and have a quick conversation with them. And I was trying not to rush. You know, I was just not in the mood to do it. So, but I always love going up and down Artist Alley and talking to people and having them tell us about their stuff. So I've got four people I talked to. The first is somebody from Divergent Comics, and here is what he's got to say.
So I run Divergent Comics. Uh-huh. Started in 2021 with the first book coming out in 2022 called Brontide. The whole gist of it is just to make stories and comics across the board that tell interesting stories from a perspective of real life. So, specifically, Brontide is about a 30-year-old bum who is kicked out of his house, runs into a cult leader who takes people's life force to get powers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The next one that came out late last year, 2023, was Lionheart, and it's about a Mexican-American girl who loses her entire family on her 6th birthday. Yeah. She goes to foster care, gets adopted by an MMA trainer who then trains her how to fight, and she has her first big MMA fight and loses her adopted family after that fight.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it's cheery.
Yeah, she is a very interesting character.
Yeah.
I have plenty more stories coming out. My actual next story coming out is The Charger. Currently running a Kickstarter campaign for it. This is about an ex-Air Force pilot who is shot down as they're trying to, or as she's trying to deliver supplies to troops. She undergoes a experimental procedure that gives her powers similar to like static or black lightning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she has to learn what it means to actually have a legacy instead of living under the legacy of her father.
So where can anybody, if anybody's listening, where can they find you?
So I'm most active on Instagram and Threads. On Instagram, I'm under Divergent Comics,
mm-hmm.
and on Threads, I'm under Gary Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, thank you very much.
No problem.
Now, the second person who I saw at Artist Alley was right next to the Divergent Comics booth, and it was I did not get his conversation with him on audio because he actually doesn't speak English and only speaks French and Italian. But he was one of the creator of the graphic novel Hella Nice. Whom I had seen on the list, and I had looked at his artwork, and I was really blown away by like how cool it looked. His name was Giuseppe Manunta, and he wrote and drew the novel. It's about this woman who was a French race car driver during the late early 1900s into by the end of the First World War, and then past that, and her life of racing and as a celebrity. A really, really interesting bio of her, and the artwork is absolutely gorgeous. And so I had seen it advertised on his site when I went through the Artist Alley webpage and started clicking on places where I was like, oh, these people might be interesting to meet. And I was just like really, really struck by what he had. So I went ahead and made a note to go see him. And bought the graphic novel for about like $25 or so. It's a hardcover. And then he not only signed it, he actually drew her on the first page. And I'll post that to the show notes. So I'll recommend going and checking that out if you're interested. And I had talked to the guys from Divergent Comics. And then Stella and I walked around it a little more. And we talked to the creators from Death of Comic Book Case.
All right. Hey, I'm Zach Quaintance. I'm a comic book writer. Wrote the Death of Comics Bookcase. It's a 48-page anthology comic where I collaborated with a bunch of different artists across comics to make one book with that covered about us playing a bunch of different genres.
Okay.
And
Next Door, is this brand new?
Death of Comics Bookcase is the new one. Next Door was my first comic from a couple years ago.
Okay, what's that about?
That was like a sort of a take on like neo-noir, but it was like set in a neighborhood. I wrote it during the pandemic when we couldn't really get out of our neighborhood.
Okay.
So it kind of like brought the action to like, what if there was like a conflict happening on your dog walk and that kind of thing. It's a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If anybody's interested in checking you out, where can they find you?
Comicsbookcase.com. You can actually, I have a monthly newsletter that goes out with news about my comics and where to find them and that kind of thing. So
okay.
You can sign up there. That's the best place.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And finally, I mean, we talked to a couple other people in Artist Alley and I bought some other things from there, but the other interview I have is one of Stella's friends who wrote the comic Visitations.
Not asking her anything about herself, but she actually affected the story by something she said to me.
Oh, really?
5 years ago.
Oh.
When I saw you last. You made a comment to me about the books that you had read, and you had made an assumption that had never popped into my head, and I was like, oh, I'm going to use that at some point. So I've taken what she wanted and put it in the book.
Where are my credits?
Well,
did you put it in the cover?
No.
Credit to stuff.
Maybe when that part of the story ends in the next issue.
Okay.
So let me interview you for my show, I guess.
Yeah, he's got a podcast. He goes around and talks to people.
So talk to me about the comic.
Okay, so my comic book is called Visitations.
Uh-huh.
It is modern history as seen through the eyes of the residents of an old Victorian cemetery.
Oh, okay.
The characters are like a ghost Justice League. They have adventures while history grows and changes in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at the turn of the century and it'll go to present day or however long I live. I don't know what ending is coming first.
Mm-hmm.
And all the issues do something different. So the first issue is an introduction to the characters. Obviously, your audience doesn't see this, but I'm going to demonstrate it anyway. The second issue is all double-page spreads. And whoever is reading it is required to move it around.
Oh, interesting.
And around. And around.
Wow.
The third issue is a point-of-view story. So whoever is reading it is the main character, and the main character ends up in a very bad place and sees murders and stuff. The fourth issue is fully painted, and it comes with a link to a downloadable audio file, which is the same story told from a different perspective in the style of a 1940s radio show.
Mm.
So there are actors playing the parts, there's a fake commercial, and there's even like live piano music that's taking place in the audio version. The fifth issue is a couple of different comic strips. One is a comedy comic strip, kind of like a Calvin Hobbes.
Mm-hmm.
The second comic strip is an adventure comic strip, kind of like Dick Tracy-ish. And then they come together in the middle and they become one story. The sixth is told in newspaper headlines. The seventh is a flip book. On one side, it continues the story that started in number six. On the other side, it is the origin of one of the characters. And the eighth issue is a gigantic bale in the cemetery.
All right, cool. And if anybody's interested in checking you out, where can they find you?
They can find my website at visitationscomicbook.com. My name is Scott Larson, and I am on Instagram at Scott J. Larson Art, and the same with Facebook. And my email is visitationscomicbook at gmail.com. And visitations is spelled, and I have to look myself, it's visitationscomicbook at gmail.com.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
So all that took place, I think, like right before lunch. And by the time I was done with the alien signing and everything, we were pretty hungry. We went over to Jimmy John's, what we usually do, and we sat outside and sat and talked for a little while. So this is our conversation, me, Brett, and Stella during lunch. I apologize, the audio, I cleaned it up as best as I could. It was a little bit crazy because it was so loud and there's a lot of background noise. But this is kind of us in the moment, just kind of taking stock of like what we bought, what we did, etc., before we went back into the con, which was a whirlwind of comic buying, at least for me.
I know that's gonna be his like style like it, but I just think it's a funny character.
Mm.
Because people just like to just use it as a metaphor. This is silly. I like this artist's art. It's for me, it's a thing where it's like I like this artist, I want to support them, but they don't have anything else that I really like. Let me just buy a random meat or something. Oh, so I just thought the concept of an anime girl that's Jason Voorhees was really funny.
An emo Jason?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff.
You should make Fred watch Jason Goes to Hell.
Do you want to see the hat I bought? I got a letter from Stray Boxes. I gave you a letter.
Mm.
Oh, cool.
Aww.
It says Bad Luck Club. Away to D&D.
I think Jason Goes to Hell. Oh, I've seen, for some reason, I've seen part 5.
Oh, and then
my friend rented it once.
I won a free print.
Oh, cool. That's really cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. I won a free print. I also got there was another store that was selling prints that they had a little wheel to spin, and you know I can't resist a little wheel to spin. So my price for that was buy one, get one free on a print.
I got a free koozie from the Hard Rock Cafe because I spun a wheel there.
And then the thing, the little bag I gave you, that's a glass little thing with like a bamboo lid and strap and stuff. It was very nice, but it was a mystery. And I liked all their designs, and I couldn't choose in the mystery one. I was like, all right, that's something to open on the podcast. But I didn't buy the mystery dice this time. But they were selling gemstone dice. And they had one out of aquamarine that was seafoam, and I was like, if only I had seen this booth earlier when I had one.
Yeah.
They were trying to put three stories in one.
It's funny how some of these readers, like, the signature prices are way more than they used to be. So,
like, what, a lot of the artists?
Yeah, like, I think the cheapest one was Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. It was $5 a set. But like, Michael Golden, I bought a few things, but he was like charging like $20 a set. So I bought two, because I got two for two of the Nom things that I had.
I thought about asking Clay Droid to sign my yearbook, but I didn't have a Sharpie on me. But I was sitting here, because I was talking to him, and I was like, yeah, no, I bought a Blake Doctor from you a few years ago, and I made sure to come back, and he was like, oh, thanks for coming back. And I told him, I was like, yeah, my Blake Doctor sits on my shelf and watches me paint, and he was like, I made the shelf. It's my life's achievement. But he was very, very nice. I think you'd like his stuff. Maybe we can walk around and style it together. I can show you the random people about stuff.
Yeah.
There's someone selling, like, I just got it as a D&D prop. It was like $12. There's something like little bubble bath soaps in potion bottles.
Oh,
I was like, I just want the potion bottle. I don't need the soap. I just want the potion bottle.
There's a lot of trinkets.
Yeah.
Being sold.
I buy a lot of trinkets and charms.
Scott, yes?
Go ahead.
I was just going about my gold. And Scott Larson was telling me that he was talking to somebody that was telling me, like, that Michael Golden might not be, like, the nicest of people. Have you heard some stories? Okay.
He was pleasant enough with me.
Yeah.
I asked him a question about one of the covers of the comics, and he explained something. I can see how he would be a little bit off-putting.
Oh.
So, gotten a lot of confidence in something like that.
That's good.
Yeah. I was like the second person at Terry Moore's booth this morning, and Jimmy Palmiotti is next to him.
Oh, okay.
Got actually. We're very happy about that.
Wow. Yeah.
He is an incredibly nice person.
Is his wife here?
She is. She wasn't there at the moment.
Okay.
It is hard because I like Artist Alley and like walking around it, but there are a few great artists who will be like, oh, hey, you know, come check out my stuff. And then I get trapped in a conversation and I'm like trying to go because I'm like, so you're like, I don't want to buy the thing you're selling.
Yeah, that is the most awkward. It's like,
it was easy. For recording's sake, what have you gotten so far?
Yeah. I went to Terry. Oh, it's right here. I thought it was over here. I went to Terry Moore's booth. That was the first one I went to. And I got Parker Girl soft cover. I was either going to get that or Echo by one of Parker Girls. And then chatted with him a little bit. He gave me a Kashu pin for free, which I appreciate. And then spoke to a friend of mine who's an artist down at Artist Alley, Scott Larson, which I guess you'll hear from him. And then went to Babs Tart and got a couple enamel pins, one of Babs and one of Nightwing's Domino Masks. Now, yeah, just looking around, saw a print, a Kiki's Delivery Service print, which I'll probably get. And I have a list of pops that I'm looking for, but haven't seen them, and they seem like way overpriced then.
Yeah.
More like 25, 35, 40. So if I get a pop, it might just be one pop if I find it.
I'd be willing to pay like 10,
yeah.
I did see something that I kind of want to get. Together they would be $20. There was, you know, that booth that sells like the used books, like the big books. They had both Elden Ring books. The first one was absolutely destroyed. It was $8, but I found another one. Copy of the first one for $12, and then they had the second one almost like
Just show me.
And I was like, because I looked on Amazon to compare prices, and combined it would be like $60.
Yeah, that was probably.
But, yeah, I haven't had time.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple. There's one booth that's like, you can clearly see its cost, and that takes a while.
I know, I might have said this, but I accidentally bought the booth.
Yeah.
Like, no judgment, but it smelled crazy.
Oh, well. Who knows what those wee booths get up to?
Yeah, I know.
But no, it's fun. I like this con. I would say it's similar to Heroes Con. I think you would really like Heroes Con because it's very much like focused on the comic creators, whereas like sometimes things can get out of control. It's like merchandising, and I feel like Baltimore is in between like that and San Diego. But I like it. I like that you're not crammed in like a bunch of sardines. There's enough room to walk around, and there's a lot of diverse stuff that you can see. So far I've been having fun. But yeah, I told Tom when I got here and stood with him in the VIP lane that basically the purpose was to come hang out with him. So that was my main little check. So I got that done.
And the tickets, the regular admission tickets are still fairly reasonable,
yeah,
right?
I think it was 40 for Saturday.
Saturday's their biggest day.
Yeah, I thought like that was
Sunday is the cheaper day. Yeah. Friday is cheap because it's only in the afternoon or something. It's like right
afternoon. Sorry to interrupt. There's another artist alley booth that I'm going to see. I might not buy anything. They're selling travel posters.
We saw
that's
that.
The one. That's where I want to get Kiki. Yeah.
Because they had one for the mystery shack.
Yeah, I thought about getting the island air one from Joseph Carter.
Oh.
But I was like, do I want to get Margaret's? Because I bought three.
Yeah.
I bought a Death Row. The person, like, the artist, like, saw my cousin and picked out here.
Oh, that's very cool.
And since it was watching you,
yeah, and then so after that, Stella and I went back in. I think we poked around at a few other things and then went up to the aliens panel. After the aliens panel, I said like it was a whirlwind of going to different booths and checking out $3 boxes, dollar boxes, dollar bins, other places, and trying to fill holes in my comic collection and then finding out what else I could find that was really, really interesting to look at. I think the most expensive comic I got, actually, I bought issue 287 of Wonder Woman, Volume 1. This was a ancillary New York New Teen Titans appearance. So it was the last one I needed. What I started doing a few years ago was I went through the official Teen Titans index that I have and wrote down all the comics that the Titans appeared in between DC Comics Presents 26 and whenever the end of the original series was issue-wise. And wrote down like various issues of Wonder Woman or Action Comics or World's Finest or Supergirl and stuff, and started collecting those and slotting them in between the issues where they were. Wonder Woman 287 was the last one on my list, and it was really hard to find. I would go, my LCS hasn't had it for years. I was going from booth to booth at the Baltimore Con, and it was like always the one that wasn't there. And so I finally found it, and somebody wanted $15 for it. I have no idea what they wanted $15 for. And I was like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, you're having a hard time finding this book. Do you want to pay $15 for it? That's a lot of money. And I had it in my hand. The guy at the booth called me. He's like, can I help you something? I said, this is $15. I said, can I talk you down to $10? And he said, yeah, sure, why not? And so I paid $10 for it, probably still overpaid. I'm like, what makes that book $10? But again, a convention like that where you're operating truly off cash that you've saved up, I'm not going to haggle with myself as much for like one thing like that, especially when I was going to another booth and I was dropping like $15 on 15 comics and stuff like that. So like splurging a little bit there was no big deal for me. I filled in some Green Lantern comic holes that I had. And actually, this is where the dollar bins came in really, really nicely, because I needed to go back and buy issues 1 through 8 of the original series, not the original series, of the 1990 series for that had Pat Broderick art. And there was a trade. It was like the Road Back or something that I haven't had any luck trying to find, and I wasn't having any luck there. And I was coming across the book in regular bins, and I was seeing these books at like, this is where I was seeing them at $5 a piece, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, I'm not going to pay $5 a piece for these. I will go on eBay and I'll find a copy, free, cheap copy of the trade or whatnot. But then I started fishing through the $3 bins and the dollar bins, and I think I found all but like one of them in the dollar bins. I think I've paid $3 for another one. So the patience paid off a little bit, and that was really, really cool. I bought both Batman Grendel crossovers for $3 a piece, picked up a bunch of old Superman family comics that were in cheap bins, really, because those are fun. I'm not actively collecting Superman family, but like any Bronze Age Superman or Batman book that I can find that looks pretty cool to me, and is cheap, I will grab, even if it's falling apart and I end up like chucking it because it's just mildew or whatever. Because the Bronze Age stuff is like, some of it you can still find cheaply, some of it if it's in poor condition, but it is getting more and more expensive. Even some of the 80s stuff is getting a little more expensive. So sometimes I just go for that sort of goodness. And I was looking for like any horror stuff I could find, which I found bits and pieces of. I did buy all of the late 80s Blackhawk series. The Marty Pasco wrote it, like it came after the Chaykin miniseries, which I already have, and the Action Comics Weekly books. I bought those. It was in a set at a place where they're putting that sets together in bins, and I got it for $35, which I think is roughly like $1.50 a book or so. And the only thing I didn't have it that wasn't in there was the annual, but I already have the annual because I fished it out of a quarter bin last year. So that'll be fun to read. The only thing I need to complete that little run of late 80s post-crisis Blackhawk is to finish collecting Action Comics Weekly. And I think I have all of maybe 4 or 5 issues of Action Comics Weekly to buy before I have that entire run, because I'm collecting it to get all the Green Lantern stories and the Blackhawk stories. I have the Nightwing stories because I have the trade that came out a few years ago, and I actually have those issues as well. And then I just kind of grabbed what looked fun. You know, one of the things about dollar bins is that, and those of you who go to shows or who go to sales and stuff and who know this, you're going to come across a lot of really recent stuff that was just over-ordered. And so for every issue of 1990 Green Lantern I came across, there was something like indie that maybe somebody thought was going to catch on, and just there's like a ton of them there. Or there's a bunch of like DC event books from like 2022 or something that were over-ordered. But you know, buying from a dollar bin, especially when they're not arranged alphabetically, is needle in a haystack searching. One thing I've done pretty well over the years was like kind of flip through the tops of comics and looked for ones that are clearly not recently printed, because you can see where the ones that are the recent paper stock as opposed to like the old newsprint, where they are a little bit, and then kind of slowing down and seeing what's there and then going on. And I did buy a mystery box as well as a mystery pack from Third Eye Comics, mainly because I had so much fun doing that last year. It was like $25. I was like, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. And I did get the 25th anniversary limited edition pin from Hard Rock Cafe, which was pretty cool. I had meant to go to a couple of company booths, Mad Cave, I think Aftershock, a couple of those. Didn't get around to that because toward the end of the day, I was so focused on the walking around, and then I was getting tired, and so I just decided to kind of call it at one point, but really had a really fun full day. And before we left, I got to talk to Stella a little bit about what her experience was, because this was her second time at the convention and she moved to Baltimore recently. So we're hopefully going to get together again next year. But here's what she had to say about her entire day.
Okay. All right. We're done.
We made it.
Yeah. So what'd you think?
I liked it. I like this con because it's a nice mix of merchandise and comic creators, and it's not so overwhelming like some cons can be. I feel like it has maybe a small town feel. I got to see some people, like some were a surprise, and then got to hang out with Tom. So overall, I would say a success.
Yeah, what'd you think of the Aliens panel?
I liked the Aliens. I would have liked a little more inside baseball discussion, in particular, like the moderator asking more questions. Mm-hmm. And I have an annoyance when there's a specified theme for the panel when people ask questions about other work. Like, The Shawshank Redemption is great and all, but this was about Aliens, so, that sort of thing. But overall, like, I just like to hear what people's experiences are on those films, so it was fun.
Yeah, and this is your local con now. This
I
is
know.
Kind of funny how I'm schlepping all the way here from Charlottesville,
yeah.
And you're taking a light
I
rail.
I can take a light rail! Yes, yeah.
So... Well, cool. Well, actually, it was really... I'm glad... I didn't think you'd end up being here the whole day, so...
Yeah?
Because I figured you'd pop in and out, but it was really cool hanging out with
you. I cleared my schedule for TV. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And finally, it was time to head home after we separated from her. She went to the light rail, and we went back to the parking garage, and after I finally found my way over the parking garage, kind of freaked out over the fact that my parking app was not pulling up the QR code, and then... The person working the booth said, "Did you take a picture of it by any chance?" I was like, "Maybe I did." And I found a screen cap. I was like, "Oh, thank God." Got out of there. Got back on I-95, headed south toward DC and Northern Virginia. And Brett and I opened up our mystery packs and talked about what we did. So here's us on 95. Again, I did my best to clean up all the audio and clean up the road noise. So I apologize if it's a little bit wonky, but you're kind of used to that by now from this particular show. So here we are headed home.
We're driving home after the parking app failed on me, and thank God I took a screenshot. So it's a lesson for next year. So we are exhausted.
Yeah.
My feet hurt. You were saying, so... We both spent a lot of money. We both had quite a bit to spend, and you were saying, so I went with getting signatures in the morning. I really got all the signatures before like 10:15. So that half an hour that we were early, I pretty much got everything signed that I wanted to get signed.
And in the meantime, I was buying stuff.
Yeah.
To the point where one of the shops I bought something from thought I was a vendor. They're like, "Oh, where's your table?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm just here as a VIP."
Yeah.
I think it would be cool to be a vendor. I don't know what it'd sell, but it would be cool.
Yeah. I am. If I was just shopping and I had the VIP, I think we would have ended the day a lot earlier. It is like tough to not like, because you want to do like a round and.
Yeah.
Just figure out things, and then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, do you ever feel rushed when you're
kind
on the convention
of,
floor?
Kind of. It was nice having the VIP because I was able to walk around freely for a while, which was really nice. It wasn't like the hallways of a high school.
Yeah.
I only started getting fed up with that towards the end, because that one was when everyone was like really rushing in. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. There's one cool thing I saw at Artist Alley that I kind of wish I'd seen earlier before my feet started to hurt. Someone had like a little thing where if you went to the booths of different artists and got like a stamp, you could get like a prize.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But I saw it in like our last 10 minutes there, and I was like, my feet hurt too bad to do that.
Yeah, neither of us got yearbook signatures, I think.
Oh, I fully forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, that wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I liked the yearbook and everything. We had the yearbook. I had the yearbook about 5 years ago. And I did get a bunch of signatures in that day, but you were saying, so I went from really was kind of progressing through the day, where I went from signatures and up and down Artist Alley before lunch, and after lunch, I had the power. You took me to a couple places you wanted me to see.
Yeah.
And then I went up to Stella, and I went up to the panel for Aliens, and then we went. Then when I came back, I just basically went from comic booth to comic booth and was buying stuff left, you know, buying comics that I wanted. I got a few. But you're not here for comics, per se.
Yeah, not really, because my backlog is so big that I can't really afford to add anything. If I buy a comic, I thought about buying the Elden Ring art book near the end, or I'd rather ask you to buy it for me, but the cheap undamaged copy was gone.
Sorry,
I bought it. It's fine. And they were like, we have undamaged copies for $30. And I was like, I'll just buy it off Amazon at that point.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to buy a book, it's got to be something really cool. I thought about buying... I saw a Taylor Swift comic, and I almost bought it for Gina. But it was like $60 for one issue or something. Yeah. It was from one of those booths that's like, oh, rare comics or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a lot of money. That I looked at my wallet and like a fly flew out and coughed. Yeah. I spent a lot of my time in Artist Alley. They didn't really have the mystery box that we usually get this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a lot of mystery stuff from artists. And I did a lot of like spinning a wheel or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
That's why I like taking you around Artist Alley, because every free wheel spin that I get, you get another one.
That's true.
You get two chances on everything.
Yeah, although, I'm sorry I disappointed you with the one thing where I got a free piece of candy.
Nah, you're good. I mean, I got 50. If you had also gotten 50% off, would that have been
100%? No, I think you would. I think it would have been one coupon per purchase. But $35 for that shirt
is
pretty good.
I did kind of want that acrylic standee, just because I like Hades, but also I'm like, it was Aphrodite, and it's going to be hard to explain that one to anyone that comes in my room. And I'm like, oh, it's Hades. If they had Athena, I would have bought, because Athena looks really good. Okay.
Do they have Athena holding she has her helmet?
She's wearing the helmet, I think, in the game. I don't think she's in the second game in Hades 2, but then again, Hades 2 is still in development, so we don't know. I have, the early access for Hades 2, because I bought it the minute it went on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I've been waiting for this for 2 years. And it's very good. I need to play more of it. But it's cool because... Sorry, this is fully off topic. When you play it and you discover characters that haven't finished yet, they still have like the sketch of the character up there in-game rather than the full finished art, which is cool. But yeah, I went around Artist Alley a lot. I bought a lot of mystery stuff, which will open...
We said we wouldn't get prints, and both of us walked away. Well, the print came with the thing.
Yeah.
And I was too tired to go to the artist's table and get them signed for us, because he wasn't signing in the morning.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, I was going to come back, and like, you know what, I don't feel like going back there.
Yeah.
And then, you bought a couple prints, I bought a couple prints. That travel poster one, kind of have to put a bookmark on it.
Yeah.
You know, because I might take a note of who they were. And
because they had some D&D ones.
Yeah, they had a Hyrule one.
They had Isla Nublar from Jurassic Park. They had some D&D ones. They had the Underdark, I don't remember.
They had one for the Mystery Shack.
Yeah, they had a Mystery Shack one. They had a Last of Us one, which was cool.
They had a bunch of Star Wars ones.
And some Game of Thrones and random stuff. But it was very cool. I think I would have pulled the trigger on one if they had, like, Elden Ring. There's another guy who had, like, a wood carving of the map of Breath of the Wild that looked interesting, but I couldn't... There were a lot of booths where I'm like, this looks interesting, but I can't get close enough, because people won't...
That was
stop being indecisive at the counter.
At one of the comic places where I dropped a good amount of money, like, $25 or so, it was hard to find, like, get to where I wanted to go to look, because somebody was there parked there. But then again, like, you know... So it gets crowded, and my frustration is now I don't expect anybody that with the dollar comic bin to have everything like perfectly organized, but there were a couple places that toward the end I would have loved to go through the dollar comics some more, but they were all none of them were sorted in any way, so I was like, you know what, I kind of flipped through them in haste and because we were getting toward like closer to the quarter of four. I was like, you know what, I want to get out of here. So
there were a few artists when I was buying things from them where I was like, I would love, because like, for example, I got two Hatsune Miku keychains from this one booth, but they didn't have, what a lot of artists do when they have a ton of designs, they'll label them like A9 at like a vending machine. These weren't labeled, so I just picked the two that were easiest to describe. When I kind of would have rather gotten a different one, which is fine. I still like the keychains I got, but I'm like, you know, if you had labeled them, I would have been able to get.
Yeah. Stella wound up getting two pops, so.
Yeah, I didn't buy a pop this year.
I didn't see any of the ones. I
think the first thing I bought was my three prints. I think that was the very first thing I bought.
Yeah, and I had passed by their booth at one point, too.
They were very nice.
So, and then you were saying how, so we got some mystery stuff to open, and I think you got, like, a mystery cup and some stuff in your bag, too.
Yeah.
And I got a Mystery Comics bag and a Mystery Comics box.
Which I'll be opening and describing.
What's the appeal of the mystery? You've been doing mystery boxes since
For me,
first year here, we did a mystery box.
So. For me, I've always loved mystery stuff. I don't know why. When I was little, I liked watching on YouTube. There were these YouTubers that would just buy a bunch of blind bag toys or whatever and then just open them. Mm. That was a big thing, and I would watch those all the time. I don't know. I think it's just I like the chance of, like, oh, I could get this thing. Or, like, I'm sure a lot of times when I get a mystery thing, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like it's being picked for me, I guess. I don't know. It's also just, it's like a fun extra activity added on. Because, like, you know, there's the joke about, like, oh, just buying things is fun. But then it's like you buy something and then you also get the experience of opening it. Like Pokemon cards.
Gotcha.
Seeing what you get. I joked to Stella. I was like, I should never gamble. Because the way that I love to do the chance mystery thing, I would be in, like, dead so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and start getting, we'll do your mystery stuff first.
I'll start with the cup and then I'll go from, and then I'll go to the stuff in my bag. I actually don't remember a lot of the stuff that I bought. Oh, it came with a business card. Apparently, this also came with a little vinyl sticker. So, this is a glass cup with a bamboo lid and straw and vinyl stickers.
Do you want my keys to cut this stuff open?
I got this one. We were given this straw later.
Ooh,
cute! It has the soot sprites from Spirited Away. I think it's Spirited Away. It's a Ghibli movie on it. That's very nice.
Cool. It's got a little hole in the bamboo at the top.
Yeah, that's where you put the... and then there's something. Oh, then there's like a pack of mystery stickers.
Right.
Cute. Care instructions. Hand wash only. Do not microwave.
Do not soak.
No. So,
now you know.
Because you're the one who does the... Not me. Here, is there anything else in this box? No. I'll put that back in there.
Okay.
That was nice. There was one that I thought about buying from there, but I wanted the mystery instead. It was like frosted glass and it had like purple mats on it.
I liked all their designs though, so I was like, I'll get a mystery because I can't decide. And I'm only going to buy one.
I also bought an Over the Garden Wall mug.
Yeah, so you got an Over the Garden Wall mug, which we're not going to get out right now because it's buried in there. But you cosplayed as something from Over the Garden Wall. Why don't you describe that a little bit?
I cosplayed as the Beast from Over the Garden Wall. He's the main antagonist. He traps wayward souls in the unknown. Look at my bag right now. I have a keychain of Hatsune Miku as Jason Voorhees that I bought because I thought it was funny. Anyway, the Beast is this very tall, imposing, like, silhouetted figure with antlers made out of, like, tree branches. My cosplay was hot. It was...
literally hot. Not, like, you look hot, like, you were... It was hot. Well, it was a... It was what? Black jeans.
Black jeans,
black shirt. Black cloak. And then you had the hood with the headband with the antlers.
Yes. So I'll open my mystery stuff, but then also just describe my random stuff that I bought after I did the mystery.
Alright, yeah, so we're just going to go through your bag right now.
Did I buy three mystery things, or did I just buy two? I think I just bought two.
You bought two in the cup.
Two in the cup, yeah. That was the third time.
Why don't you go ahead and see what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'll describe my stuff after I
do this and the comics and everything. Why don't you go through your bag and describe your stuff, and then we'll do all of my stuff.
Okay.
All right. That way you don't have to jostle back and forth. All
right. So I got a hat that has a little black cat on it. It says Bad Luck Club. This one artist had a Miku bundle that I thought was funny, so I got it. It's a sticker, a button, and a print. I got a print. I got some D&D dice. I got two Pokemon keychains, a Gachapon, a little kaiju from Playdroid, who's one of my favorite artists that I visit every year at Comic-Con. I got another mystery keychain that's like Hatsune Miku, but a Pokemon-type pair. And this is a normal type. There's a very big Hatsune Miku theme going on, if you couldn't tell. I think that's all other than the mystery stuff, which I'll open now. Oh yeah, I bought some D&D dice, and I bought my three prints. I got a print, I got a bookmark, I got a bunch of business cards. I always get 8 billion business cards every year.
Alright, I'm going to throw this back. I'm going to put my hat on. We didn't buy... Did you buy a t-shirt? You bought the woolly mammoth shirt.
Yeah.
I think the only t-shirts we got were the ones that went with the...
There was a Tears of the Kingdom shirt that I wanted to get, but it was $35.
Yeah.
And at the start, I would have justified buying that because I was buying a bunch of stuff. But by the time that I circled back to it, I was like, I'm good. It was a very cool print. It was kind of just a white t-shirt with a very nice handmade print on it. And I was like, I don't want to spend $35 on that right now. I'll just put the bag on the floor there and I can move it to the exit. I bought this one for $15. It was from a shop. They complimented my cosplay and talked about it really hard and hauled me, so I bought it from them. And this came with a bunch of oh my gosh, there's a lot of stickers. It's a bunch of stickers of cats in various outfits.
Yeah.
I wanted one of these. It's a keychain that's like a little acrylic charm of a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that's pretty cool. It kind of looks like the Switch case you got recently.
Yeah, that's cute. More cat stickers. This one looks like a burrito. I thought this was a pen. This is Bubbles.
Okay.
So I have that now. I think that's all that's in this one. I can't really tell. It's a lot of stickers. For context, it's in a pyramidical... That's not how you say that. You get what I'm trying to say. It's in a pyramid shape. Which is making it kind of hard to... It was $15. Got a keychain, got some bubbles, got some stickers.
Okay.
I'd say that's worth it. Now, this one I'm excited about because it was $20. They said it was $40 worth of value from their shop. And I really liked their stuff. I bought 2 Pokemon keychains from them, I think. Maybe from another shop. I don't remember. But they were also selling Genshin Impact stuff. I'm not a huge fan of Genshin Impact. The characters look cool, though, and I have friends who play it. So if I get anything that I don't like, I'll just give it to friends. Thank you for supporting my art. And then it's their Etsy. Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff in here. Time for the segment of the podcast where I rustle around plastic for 15 minutes. Bunch of stickers. A lot of stickers. These are characters from a game that I played once or twice. Oh, Pokemon! Business card. More stickers. And then 2 things in some sort of wrapping. That's cute. It's a charm of an Alolan Pokemon, but it's made to look like a lollipop.
Okay.
So it's got like a stick and everything. That's very cute. And then this is a random Genshin Impact character. So I own that now. It's like an anime guy. I don't know. He looks cool. Sweet. I think that's my mystery stuff sorted. I'm pretty satisfied.
Cool.
I don't know if you'd say you are.
Anything else that you got that's in your bag that you want to take a look at after you put that back?
not that I can think of. I bought a cute little blue kaiju from Claydroid, but that was it. I think anything else is like stickers and stuff that's buried at the bottom of my bag. I got a bookmark. I got an Umbreon bookmark because they were $2. Again, keychains. I'm just progressively adding more and more
keychains to my D&D bag. I really want to.
Yeah, I think some of my stuff is also in your blue tote bag.
It is, and it's buried in there, yeah, so we'll have to sort through that when we get home.
You want me to do your comics now?
Yeah, so why don't you start? So I got two.
I'll start with that.
Yeah, my last two past purchases were at the Third Eye Comics booth, and they were both mystery packs. So this is a mystery pack of a DC grab bag.
Yes.
For $20. I think it was like five classic old school comics, and they were DC.
For just $20.
Yeah, and I know one of them because there was one in the back. It's an old Freedom Fighters comic, so I took that one because I was like, I don't have any of that. Everything else is like a Batman or something that I already actually own. So
Let me.
You know, so you're sliding it out.
I'll do my best to preserve the casing. So we have Freedom Fighters, volume.
Just number what?
Number 4.
Okay.
Priced at $6. Green Arrow.
Oop. Sorry.
No, you're good. Maryland Drivers. Some comics fell out, but we can sort that out later. Green Arrow number 10.
Okay.
Priced at $6. It was $1 at the time. $1.35 Canadian. Green Arrow number 11.
Okay.
So you can read it in order if you want. Green Arrow number 3 with The Butcher and The Question.
It's Brave and the Bold miniseries. Okay.
Yeah. And Robin Green Lantern.
Showcase.
And something,
yeah.
Nightwing. Showcase 93.
Okay.
12 of 12.
All right. I may actually already own that book.
A lot of Green Arrow.
I think I have that Showcase book at home.
You feel satisfied so far?
Yeah. That's cool.
That's a lot.
I had a feeling when I was sorting through them, because you could see the one of the books in the. In the back of the bin,
yeah,
of the bag, because they had it exposed. And every other one was a Green Arrow comic, so I was like, all right, they probably have
a surplus of Green Arrow somewhere.
So you just put that on the scene. We'll sort through all this crap later. Yeah. We're about to get all the way.
This is the Third Eye Fun Box, $25, 25 comics, 1 graphic novel, 2 comic variants, and 1 Funko Pop. Okay. All right, so the Funko Pop is the first thing in here. This is actually a really cool one.
Oh.
It's a Hot Topic exclusive pre-release. It's Katniss, quote, the Mockingjay.
Mm.
And it's Katniss from The Hunger Games in a blue dress with, like, wings.
All right.
I have no idea how this Funko Pop is going to stand up on its own. But it's there.
Okay.
It's very cool. Pop Movies 231. Do you care where I put this?
No.
I actually really like this Funko Pop.
Yeah.
The graphic novel in question is The Last Man.
Or Why the Last Man.
Why the Last Man. Do you have this?
I do not. I've actually never read that. So I'll have to read it.
Okay, what else I got? We have... The variant is a gold cover version of Chitara.
Oh.
1 Thundercats.
Oh, yeah, that's a Chitara miniseries.
$10. Do you care if I read out the value?
No.
Space Ghost. I think there were 2 variants or something. Okay. I don't remember. Space Ghost Dynamite 03.
Okay.
Looks cool. Eternal Warriors Last Ride of the Immortals.
Alright.
Issue 1. Epitaphs from the Abyss.
Alright.
Number 1. Strange Academy, Blood Hunt 2 of 3, At the Mercy of the Darkhold.
Alright.
It's Marvel. Spider-Man, Shadow of the Green Goblin, Issue 1. Marvel 0.
Okay.
Kind of whatever. Star Wars, The High Republic, Issue 3.
Okay.
Ooh, Alien. Yeah. Alien 4, Issue 4. Blood Hunt 5 of 5.
Okay.
It's Marvel again.
I think I got that last year, that Deadpool one.
Yeah, I think you did.
Because they must have had a...
This is the variant.
Yeah, they must have had a run on those.
Yeah. Deadpool issue one variant edition. This one was backwards.
Marvel Comics 1000.
Number 1000. I don't know what that is. Ooh, Venom.
All right.
Separation Anxiety issue two. Ultimate Black Panther issue two variant edition. This is a really nice cover, actually. Absolute Power issue one.
Okay. These are fairly recent.
What's the Furthest Place from Here? Issue 18. The Incredible Hulk issue 13. The Avengers issue 15. I don't know if the bottom of this that I
under the Chitar one.
Yeah. That I gotta grab because I just couldn't pick it all up at once. Stormbreakers. It's got Deadpool and Wolverine on the cover. Wolverine, The Infinity Watch, issue 1, annual. The Sensational She-Hulk, issue 9. Trinity Special, issue 1. Moon Knight, Fist of Khonshu, issue 0.
Mm-hmm.
A Legend Reborn, Mark Spector is back. Barbaric 1. Secret Wars, issue 1. Variant cover. Oh, wow. It's, that's cool. Oh, this one's like a holo. Dark Days, The Forge.
Okay.
Issue 1. This is like a holo variant. I don't know.
Yeah, chromium.
Yeah, chromium. And then finally, Absolute Power, Task Force. What's VII? Is
that 7.
7. Task Force 7. Beware Jade Stone's Power. War Through the Eyes of Evil.
Okay, well,
3 of 7.
Yeah, a lot of recent books, but it's pretty loose. Everything. Yeah, so we got, we did pretty good in the mystery box area. I think it's, I find it funny that those are, they're obviously just offloading, extra stock of things that were probably overordered.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, all in all, those are, I always like buying those because they're just kind of fun to get the stuff, and then if I like it, I'll hold on to it. If I don't, I'll basically chuck it or send it on its way somewhere else.
Yeah.
And stuff. So that was pretty cool. That's pretty much the con. We're heading in now, and we are on this entire time. Not the entire time, but we started about maybe 20 minutes ago, or almost half an hour ago, and we are sitting in traffic on the Beltway, and I don't know what's up ahead. Hopefully it'll clear out eventually. It took a while to get on the Beltway, so we're in for a little bit of a trip at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday in Maryland, so hopefully the rest of the trip isn't too bad. Stuff, we are headed home for dinner, so I'll be back to wrap it up in a second, but I'm glad you came with me, because this is probably going to be your last convention for a while, right?
Yeah,
you know, you are applying to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine
there's an
IKEA
up here.
Yeah, what,
there's an IKEA?
Yes,
out
there's
here.
An IKEA up here, so
did not know that.
All right, well, did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. Yeah, cool. Thank you for taking me.
You are welcome.
We got the VIP tickets.
We did get the VIP tickets. Were very, very worth it. Actually, I thought they were, and I think that's it was a really cool experience. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't even know they had a separate line.
Yep, because we get in early, yeah. So that was cool. All right.
And that is it. That's the 2024 Baltimore Comic Con. Once again, this is. I don't have a lot to compare it to. I've been to the Richmond Comic Con once. Years ago, it's a smaller show that's put on several times a year. It's always fun. The Richmond Comic Con is a fun, like, literal day trip of, like, you don't have to go all day. You can go for, like, a couple of hours, walk around, and leave. One year, I'll get to Heroes Con or Dragon Con or something, because I've always heard good things about that. I've heard good things about New York, but I've heard it's crowded. Awesome Con in D.C. is another one. I'm like, oh, that'd be fun, but it always conflicted with something I had to do. But Baltimore is the one I started going to because it was, at the time I started going, was the nearest one that had a good amount of big names. And it's been since 2012, and it's gotten bigger, but it hasn't changed in that way, in a way that kind of undermines what it is. And I've always appreciated that, and it's always worth my time. And I always love the effort I put into it because I feel like I get out as much as I have put into it every single time I go. And I loved being able to run into the Sutherlands again. I loved hanging out with Stella. Next year, I swear I'm going to reach out to a few of the people I know who I follow on Twitter and Blue Sky, and find them and have a meetup, even if it's not lunch or anything, just have a, hey, how are you? I'm actually finally get to meet you. I've been following you for years type of conversation. This is really special, and it was really special this year to have that one last year with Brett because they're going to school next year, and I'm going to miss them. Probably find something to buy for them so they have something maybe for the dorm room, but really, really, really worth the time. So if you get the chance to go next year, I highly recommend it. And if you're going and you want to meet up with me, drop me a line. Next year's convention is in October. It's around, I think, October 18th, 19th, like that weekend, just in case you're curious. As far as me, my next episode is going to come out before the end of October because I wanted to do something horror adjacent. And right now, as I have planned, is I'm going to cover two issues of Uncanny X-Men where the X-Men take on Dracula. And I'm going to have a special guest with me. So come back in a few weeks for that. In the meantime, check out the blog post for show notes, pictures, and stuff. And one last thing, the show is now on Spotify. There are two feeds. One of them was the feed that was pulling from the TTF Pop Culture Affidavit feed. It may or may not be working properly, mainly because Spotify flagged a bunch of old episodes. Content, copyrighted content, because I've been doing this for long enough from back in the days where you were using a lot of copyrighted material and people really didn't notice. And so what I did was I set up a separate feed that wouldn't get flagged because from this point on, I really am going to be using just more free public domain or fair use stuff that isn't going to get flagged for that. And I had to set that up as a separate Podbean account. So if you go to Spotify and look up Pop Culture Affidavit - Two True Freaks, that is our Spotify feed. And the only episode up there aside from this will be the previous episode of 157. And that one is the Batman episode I just did. And so from here on out, that's where you're going to be able to find me on Spotify. But the old feed that you've been using for Apple and on the True True Freaks website or anywhere else that you might be picking this up from, that's still active. That is still going. And that's going to be where I'm headquartered until it's not possible anymore. I just had to dupe the feed for Spotify. So if you're a Spotify listener, just go ahead and get on there and subscribe there. Again, leave reviews, leave feedback wherever you can. I always love hearing from all of you. And until next time, thank you very much for listening and take care. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Affidavit, which is produced by me, Tom Panneries. All clips are copyright their respective copyright holders and no infringement is intended. This podcast is a part of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you can find at twotruefreaks.com. If you like the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps the show get noticed by other people. Feedback via email can be sent to popcultureaffidavit@gmail.com. For show notes and essays and other things random in the world of popular culture, visit popcultureaffidavit.com. You can also follow this show on Facebook at facebook.com/popcultureaffidavit and on Twitter at popaff. That's PopAff. Thanks for listening, and come back next time for more pop culture randomness.